It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And there are a number of notes to make for this week. I had mentioned that I had 46 notes and then found two more things to note this morning, including the brown thrasher and the hermit thrush that have appeared outside our windows here at KAXC, and that is exciting. Nice to see the brown thrashers back, and the pair, the male and the female, were feeding together on the hillside right in front of us. It was pretty exciting. Not only that, but this week I have seen the white-throated sparrow. That's the one that sings that song that sounds like, "Oh, sweet Canada, Canada, Canada. Oh, sweet Canada, Canada, Canada." And they are back. White-throated is a good name for them. If you look, they have quite a remarkably striped head, black and white and a little patch of yellow just behind the beak. And then that bright, brilliant white patch under their chin. So the white-throated sparrows are back, and that's only 3 days off of their average time to return. And I saw my first sightings of grackles last week on Tuesday. That was 23 days later than average. So the white-throated sparrows are moving along at their regular clip. The grackles must have spent a lot of time down in the cities. I don't know, gambling or perhaps drinking. I don't know. But here they are now, finally. And as I speak, a grackle just flew to our feeder this morning, and he's looking a little disgusted that I would say that they might have been in the cities drinking or gambling, but who knows? Grackles are an interesting group. This time of year, if you are looking at grackles, the males are going to be holding their tails in a V, and they do that as a sign of masculinity and as an attempt to attract the attention of the females. So watch the grackles. They're an interesting bird. They really are. Pussy willows. My good friend Henry Brown and I were out looking at pussy willows, and over at his house and subsequently at my house, we have found pussy willows that are in the flower stage. So that little white catkin that comes out early in the spring, that's just the beginning. And as it warms and heats up in there, the flowers begin to bloom. And we found flowers. You could see the little red flower heads, and then they were opening up to form little capsules of pollen. And then yesterday, as I was walking around my property, I came across a big female willow, pussy willow. And that one, the flowers were, well, the overall appearance of the flower was green, but when I got up close, you could see these tiny little yellow flowers at the tip of all these green capsules that'll be the places where the seeds are formed and then released. Fox sparrows are still back. The common loon, I saw it first on the 25th of April. It came over the lake and called, and it came over the lake and called every day subsequent to the 25th until yesterday, when it was calling from the lake. And I went down to Crooked Lake, and the ice was out on Crooked Lake, and that was a pretty startling discovery for me, because as the way spring was shaping up, I was pretty sure the ice wouldn't be out until much, much later. But I suppose actual ice out date will probably be today. Yesterday there was still one bay that was pretty well clogged with ice. But I think if you'd have been in a boat, you could have just pushed through it. It was just blown in there by the wind. The average date for ice out on Crooked Lake is the 14th of April. The earliest ever was in 2012, when it was March 24th. And the latest ever was May 8th in 2013. And this year, as I said, today is probably the day. So May 1st is probably the day. So we're a week ahead of that really awful 2013 summer, spring. I've been watching the little ponds that form along the edges of roads, and if you drive to and from town, if you're out in the countryside or anywhere you're driving, really, every time you go by one of these little potholes, these little ponds that fill up with water this time of year, sometimes they're called ephemeral ponds, sometimes they're called vernal ponds. The whole thrust of it is that they hold water for only for a bit of time in the spring, and then they dry up, and unless it's an unusually heavy rainfall later in the year, they won't stay with much water in them. But these ephemeral or vernal ponds, right now, they are really attractive to wood ducks and teal and mallards and a lot of puddle ducks. They come in there because that water creates an opportunity for plants to get going because it's warmer than freezing underneath there. And a lot of plants start growing at the bottoms of those ponds, and a lot of ducks will come in and dine on those plants, especially the puddle ducks, those ducks that take off without without running across the water. Spring peepers and wood frogs this past week, as I mentioned earlier on the radio, this morning after last night's rain, the peepers had picked up considerably. Nothing like what the kids described in Northfield as being deafening, but definitely some calls this morning of the spring peepers. The wood frogs I heard day before yesterday, I think it was, and so they're beginning to call. I would expect a lot more to come. The spring peepers are about 9 days late this year. Pussy willows, I mentioned them. The flowers on the American elm are coming out, and you may not have an elm in your yard, or like me, your elm may have been short-lived. I had an elm that began to grow on the year I moved into my house, and 37 years later, it died from Dutch elm disease. And two weeks ago, I cut it down and began to turn it into firewood, and that's a struggle. Tell you what. You want some fun, you want to get a good sweat going, go out, find yourself about a 12-inch diameter disc of elm and hit it with a splitting maul. And hit it again, and then if you can get the splitting maul back out, hit it again, and then maybe go find a wedge and drive the wedge in, and then hit it some more, and ultimately you will get it in half. But it'll be a workout. You'll be nice and warm by the time you're done. I was looking at the hepaticas. I was down at St. John's in Collegeville on Friday, and there were hepaticas in bloom down there. I saw a picture on KAXE KBXE Season Watch page on Facebook of hepaticas in the Bemidji area that were very close to blooming. I looked at my hepaticas yesterday. Now, my hepaticas grow in the forest, and they're not, their aspect is poor in terms of whether or not they're going to get a lot of sun and a lot of heat. Mine grow in the shade, and so they are among the last that I know of to bloom. But there were, when I scraped away the leaf litter and got down to the bottom, there was new growth down there, and you could see that the flower buds were coming, but still probably more than a week away. The ospreys are back. I had ospreys back. It was about 12 days late. There was a red oak up by the spruce site, and on Thursday last week, it was dropping its leaves. There were leaves all over the walkways and all over the ground near the red oak, and so now that tells me that finally, after a long winter of holding on to those leaves, the tree is preparing for this year's leaves and has decided to shed last year's leaves. There is a word for this. It's called marcescence, and it refers to those trees which hold their leaves through the winter, marcescence. And the red oaks are one, the ironwoods are another, and as I look out the windows here, I see that the black birch, the river birch, right here on the library grounds near our studios, is also holding on to some of last year's leaves. typically it's a genetic trait that comes from, especially in the case of the oaks, that tree has a long lineage of species that don't drop their leaves, that are evergreen. And so there's probably some holdover of that technique, at least here in the north. And when you look at an oak leaf, it's a fairly stout leaf. It's built for the long haul, so you can understand how that tree might have had an evergreen leaf at one point. I think I told you a week ago that the red poles had left the area. Well, in between then and now, I had red poles, a flock of red poles came through, and they must have been just traveling through, and they stopped and dined pretty heavily on my thistle seed and then moved on, and I haven't seen them back, but they are definitely leaving the area, if not already gone. I talked to Pam Perry last week on Friday, and she told me, well, in fact, as I sat with her and chatted, there was a pine siskin on her feeder, and she said that she had not had pine siskins all winter, but this one had showed up now, probably migrating back to the north. The purple finches are around. I had purple finches at my house. The big tooth aspen, the close relative of the trembling aspen, has just begun to put out its seeds, flowers rather. The trembling aspens are pretty much covered with flowers right now, and I was belaboring under some confusion, and that comes as a giant understatement, but for a long time I thought that the aspen flower, the female aspen flower, was kind of indistinct, and those aspens that had no flowers, no apparent flowers on them, were probably females, and then they would flower after the pollen flew from the males and developed the catkin that is so familiar. But as always, if I would just take the time to check the books, and I did in this case, check Welby Smith's book, Trees and Shrubs of Minnesota, and it shows clearly that the female flower on the aspen looks just like the male. It's a catkin, and it has red flowers, and at some point, that catkin will remain on the tree, and now the male catkins are just about at the point where they're ready to fall, and I would expect them to do that in the next couple of days here in the Grand Rapids area, and perhaps where you are, they have already begun to fall, but the male catkins, once the pollen has flown, the tree isn't going to waste any more time keeping that flower alive. It's going to drop it. So in the next week or so, watch the aspens in your area, and those that retain their flowers are probably females, and you can expect them to be delivering a load of cottony seeds probably in late May. But the male catkins, the male flowers, will all be laying on the ground around the base of the trees here in the next week or so. As I mentioned, brown thrasher here had my wood tick attractant out the other day, and she managed to attract a deer tick and a wood tick, so both of them are out and active right now. Pardon me. And the same can be said of mosquitoes. They're starting to come around. Balsam poplar, red oak, white oak, birch, all flowers and all the accompanying leaves and everything still tightly curled up inside their buds and not really moving anywhere yet. Today, May 1st, is historically the average first leaf out date for aspens. Didn't happen, or it hasn't happened yet today, but I would expect we'll be maybe a week. And if the weather holds and we get some rain and whatnot in between then and now, I would expect them to be blooming or breaking leaf bud here in a week or so. Fly honeysuckle, leaf buds are beginning to open. Speckled alders are just at the past the peak of their bloom. Juneberry, the buds are beginning to crack a little bit. If you look at Juneberry, you'll see the light white wispy hairs that are coming out of the buds. And blueberries just starting to bud out. I was out at the lake trying to find the loon, and I looked at my feet and thought, wow, those blueberry buds look pretty swollen. And by turning my binoculars around and using them as a hand lens, I was able to see that, in fact, the bud break had occurred on a couple of blueberry plants. So that's another good thing. The American and the beaked hazel are probably right now at their peak of bloom. If you go out and look at a hazel, you should be able to find a flower pretty easily right now today, a female flower, bright red, but very, very small. The pagoda dogwood is breaking leaf bud. I mentioned about the loons. Some of you who were watching on Facebook may have noted that there was a loon that had gotten into one of these collection ponds that are designed to sort of filter the water before it returns to a lake or river. Well, this loon had gotten itself knocked out of the sky somehow, may have hit a power line, ended up on the ground. And a friend of mine spotted it, and she tried to catch it to put it back in water so it could take off. And it scooted across four lanes of Highway 169 just east of Grand Rapids and got into a collecting pond. And the pond was too small for it to take off from, of course. But it spent 3-4 days in there before it finally figured out that it needed to crawl out and find a better spot, which was the Prairie River right over the hill from where it was tied up. So that loon got out, and he's doing just fine. I did a close inspection of a half a dozen tamaracks yesterday, and one tamarack, you could see a tiny dot of green at the end of each of the needle fascicles. So if you're interested in tamaracks, I would say this week the tamaracks will be breaking leaf bud. That one at my house was 9 days late, and any others will be even later than that. But that particular one must have been sitting in a really propitious spot, because it was well ahead of everybody else around my house. Red maples, I looked at them yesterday very, very carefully, and the buds are starting to crack open, but you can't see any flower parts yet here in Grand Rapids. Now, I think further south, that's probably not the case. I think they're probably in bloom, and possibly as far north as Brainerd, you could find red maples in bloom right now. I have several different species of sedge out in the woods. I found Pennsylvania sedge yesterday that had flower heads but no blossoms. And I also stopped and checked out my trailing arbutus, and there are flower buds on the arbutus. It's not blooming yet, but it's getting there. And the arbutus is 2 weeks behind its normal life cycle for this place and area. So we're still lagging behind, but boy, with this warm weather, we're catching up fast. That's our Phenology show for this week. If you have questions, comments, or observations to share, please get in touch with us.